Steve Esposito joins us now. Welcome back to the show, Steve. How are you?
Good. I'm fine. Thank you.
Hold on a second here. I got to click on things. I want to make sure I get a few notes in front of me. Steve is the Executive Director, Wealth Advisor, and Senior Portfolio Management Director at Morgan Stanley in Lake Forest. You can visit morganstanley.com. Let's talk a little bit about what's going on, the potential Fed action going forward, and what that means about the recovery. Is there an overreaction in anticipation of what's going to happen, or just kind of set the stage for us? What do you think is happening?
I think you're correct. I think there is an overreaction based on a couple of Fed governors making some comments. Understand there's a dozen Fed governors. You've got the Fed chair, and they all have different opinions. And what's going to happen is they're going to decide how to raise rates. But some of the commentary coming out, a couple of them, has really got the market to sell off. And interest rates, they don't have to raise them because they've already done that by talking them up. If you look at where the interest rates are now on the 10-year, is over 2.7. They were in the ones at one point, much lower. And so without only raising rates a small point, a quarter point, they've gotten raised up 100, 150 base points in interest rates as it stands right now. So that they've already talked them up. The question is the rhetoric really, really scared the markets and rattled the markets that they would raise rates 300 basis points or 3 percentage points relatively quickly. And that would have a pretty damning effect on the economy. I mean, after we spend $10 trillion coming out of COVID and stimulating the economy, you're going to now give it all back by precipitously raising rates in a non-measured way. I don't think that's going to happen. I do think they will take a measured approach and play it by ear, which I think is a more prudent thing to do. And if they do that, the markets have re-overreacted, and you want to be a buyer of cyclical companies going forward. So I see this as an opportunity to add to some positions or initiate new positions in companies I think that will benefit from reopening. And the other side is the bond market has suffered severe losses on paper for individuals who own bonds, and they're seeing the conservative side of their portfolios see some pretty big hits. And so at the end of the quarter, entering the new quarter, people are going to get their statements. They're not going to be happy with that. So I think there's opportunities. I'm not a buyer of bonds. I'll tell you that right now. I've said that all along. I wouldn't own them. But I would be a buyer of some good dividend-paying companies and diversify properly.
Talking to Steve Esposito. And Steve, just before the break, you were talking a little bit about what the Fed is doing, but what else can they do if inflation is the principal concern?
Well, there's the raising of interest rates can actually hurt the situation because I believe a lot of the problem with inflation is supply chain related. It was both labor and supply chain. They were talking about this earlier in the year and last year, but now the labor supplies are definitely coming on board. And people are going back to work, and the unemployment rate's down to 3.6%. So it's hard to have a recession with that. But the inflation concerns are valid. But I do believe it has a lot to do with supply chains. And if you raise interest rates and slow the economy, it could hurt the suppliers themselves. So as I said at the beginning, you've got to take a measured approach. The fear that they're going to jump rates precipitously in the next 90 days or 9 months, I don't think they're going to do that. I don't think they should do that. If they do a measured approach and take their time, I think the economy can handle it, and inflation will come down as people go back to work, so labor costs go down, and of course, as the we've already seen lumber come down from a high of 1,600 to just under 1,000 today. So we're starting to see that come the other way, and I think it will, because there's demand destruction when prices get too high. So it'll take care of itself in many ways. I just don't want the Fed to overreact and take back a lot of what they did in the prior 2 years. I just remember where we were 2 years ago with COVID, and the depression was coming, and it would take years to get a vaccine, and you know, 25% unemployment was going to be a norm. And that's not happening. And nobody bet you'd have 3.6% unemployment at this point. So I think, you know, don't underestimate the U.S. economy and U.S. businesses and the entrepreneurship of this country. And I think it will work itself out. Just let's not add to the problem by causing a recession. And that's really the fear that's moving the markets right now, a potential recession, which blows my mind if there's even a conversation of that. I don't think that's right. Let's not go for that to kill inflation. That's not what I would do.
Well, I don't want to be a self-fulfilling prophet, but you are a bit of an outlier if you think, I mean, you know what everybody else is saying. The big R is right there.
Right. Well, that's two consecutive quarters of negative GDP. You know, during COVID, we had that happen. Two consecutive quarters, almost like one and a half when you look at it. And then the rebound came back with the stimulus from the Fed. The recession is something people are forecasting potentially in 2023. I think that's pretty far out to determine it. but I am an outlier. I always am. I'm a contrarian with a crowd, and that is why I don't think we'll go that route. I'm hoping the Fed does not overreact and end up being a bull in a China shop and trying to calm this down. And that could happen. Of course it can, and then I would be wrong. But I'm hoping, and I don't think they will. I think they'll take a more measured approach.
How does that work, by the way? I mean, you got all these governors. Do they vote? Does the chairman have veto power? Is he the executive and he does whatever he wants? How does that work?
Well, you know, they work together towards that. You've got to have a couple outliers like any board you're going to have. But it's a consensus on what, the Fed chair wants to do. And he's made it clear, and other Fed governors have come out. They just don't get the same airtime with the media as to taking a slow, guided approach. So, unfortunately, the ones who make the more outrageous claims are the ones who get all the airtime. And you have to look at all of what they're saying. And several Fed governors do not agree with a rapid rise in interest rates, rather than measured one.
Right.
And I'm hoping cooler heads prevail.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because I'm trying to think of similar bodies where it would behoove us to not have all of them individually opine, because then you get this mixed message. I guess I'm thinking maybe about the response to COVID. Let's have a national policy. Let's do the best we can, and then let's all row in that direction. And I feel sometimes the same way about the Fed. You know, whatever the policy is, I guess we'll know what it is. But when you get, as you've said of late, these individual governors saying things that might not be in concert with the overall mission or statements of the Federal Reserve, you wonder who to believe. You wonder what to trust. You wonder what's going to happen. What is the right thought, you know?
You're absolutely correct, and that's why you have this volatility. Every hour, it's something new, a new comment, a new quote. I mean, I actually saw a comment from somebody in the media today regarding Boeing saying the stock was down because a cargo plane ran off the runway and broke in half in Costa Rica. Do you really believe that's why it is? But that's the kind of irresponsible news that is out there that investors see, and unfortunately, they shoot first and ask questions later. They don't really focus on what it is, and the computer algorithms don't help, and they trigger everything. So, yeah, you're correct. I mean, I prefer if the Fed governors would just be quiet and let the chair speak, because that's what it ends up getting down to. But that's the times we're in right now. You have to know how to navigate this and when to react and when not to react. And unfortunately, a lot of people don't know that. That's my job.
Reporting that plane story is not irresponsible news, Steve.
What is it?
It's the news.
That's why
and
Boeing.
The reaction might not be smart, but that's the news. It's not irresponsible to report that. Pardon
no, I know. I'm
I
not saying it wasn't. I'm saying
about that.
The reason they said why Boeing stock was down. Reporting the news is fine, but adding and saying the reason the stock is down is because a plane went off the edge of the runway.
You don't think that had something to do with it? Again, I think the reaction might not be rational, but that sort of thing happens all the time, doesn't it?
I mean, it could be, yeah, but I mean, that was out there to me. I mean, to see the world's largest aircraft maker stock drop $2 a share, I think it went down just because of the market. And to pin it on the cargo plane out in Costa Rica, I don't think would be responsible. Let's use that
30
word.
30 seconds left. Talk to me also about the 60-40 mix. I know we don't have a lot of time for this now, but you what's your position on that? Because bonds aren't the safe harbor that they have been in the past. So what should the blend for people be?
Well, again, that's more personalized now than ever. I've been talking about this for years when rates are at record lows. I would not have a bond component because I think the downside is greater than the upside. And unfortunately, most software financial planning, that's what ends up happening. And now they're discussing more and more about rethinking the 60-40 or 50-50 mix. So I think if you're already in that situation, it is what it is. I can tell you that you have to rethink and more customize your investment portfolios rather than letting software make all your decisions for you. And when you have the lowest interest rates in history, you have to adjust. You have to rethink this as a financial advisor for your clients and money manager and say, wait a minute, just because that's what it's been for years, when interest rates are this low and bond prices are this high, is that really the right thing to do for you? So it's really, John, on an individual basis, you have to look at each client individually and see what fits them. I can tell you right now, I don't have a single bond in my portfolios, and I haven't had for 3 years.
Stephen Esposito is the Executive Director, Wealth Advisor, and Senior Portfolio Management Director over at Morgan Stanley. Okay, always a pleasure. Thank you, Stephen.
Thank you.
I tell you what, it's going to be warm someday in your lifetime. Sun will be shining and you'll be wanting something kind of sparkling and cool. So get a load of this. Paige Eisminger is on a phone line, the co-founder of Freshy Organic Tequila. This is a new product on the market based in Chicago. Paige, thanks for joining us. You're on WGN.
Yes. Hi, John. Thanks so much for having me today. I'm so excited to talk to you about all things Freshy.
All things Freshy. So Freshy is the corporate label, and then you have this tequila seltzer, or how many products do you have under your umbrella?
So right now, Freshy is our line of our all-organic USD or USDA organic tequila seltzers. And right now, the flavor that we have out on the market is lime. And the next two flavors that we are launching next month is grapefruit guava and blood orange habanero. So we will have a total of three flavors, as well as our variety pack, too, that we're launching in June.
So how long have you all been in business? How long has Freshy been out there?
Well, so actually, my husband is the one that is the originator of the recipe, and he made this recipe back in 2016, you know, before the whole seltzer revolution. And at that time, we never wanted to, like, commercialize Freshy or anything. It was just a drink that he made, and it kind of stuck with all of our friends and family. And over time, everyone, all of our friends that came over for parties and then weddings that had Freshy bars and everything, it was the staple drink. No one else wanted to drink anything else. So that's when we had our little aha moment, like, well, maybe we should try to bring this out to the public and share this amazing drink with everybody. So we set out trying to figure out how to make this drink back in 2017. But it wasn't until January of 2021 that we officially launched our Freshy line in Illinois. Obviously, that was during, you know, smack dab in the heart of the pandemic. So we did not expect to launch during a pandemic, but luckily the consumers loved it, and all these mom and pop stars started putting it on their shelves, and the rest is history. We're now in over 1,000 accounts in Illinois. And we're in Nashville, Georgia, and we're about to launch statewide here in Florida, too.
So here in Florida right now, huh? Boy, it would seem to me like warm states, beach states, pool sites, this would be ideal for those kind of locations.
Absolutely. And so, yeah, actually, my husband and I just came down here for a couple of months to launch it, since we feel as though we successfully launched it in Illinois, and now we're excited to launch it statewide here. And we do believe it's the perfect drink, you know, that you could enjoy on the beach. And, you know, unfortunately, Chicago has some weather issues with freezing cold temperatures and snow, and sometimes people don't want to grab an ice-cold Freshy. But here in Florida, that's definitely not the case.
How does your husband make it? Like, you said that this is something that he made for friends, but it's a sparkling seltzer flavored tequila drink. Were you guys using like club soda and his own little recipe, or how was that?
Yeah, so actually he uses, well, when he was making the first Freshy, he was using LaCroix. And at that time, we were actually in Mexico. We go to Mexico all the time. I've been going to Mexico with my family as far as I can remember. And it was a drink that was something light and refreshing that he was like, what can I, you know, what's all in our pantry that I can grab? So he grabbed Blanco tequila, agave nectar, organic limes, and a LaCroix. And he made what is now called the first Freshy.
So did you just give away the secret recipe?
You know, I think I did, but not really, because no one can make a Freshy like him. Like I was saying, at all of our backyard barbecues and our friends' parties and weddings, my husband was MIA. I couldn't find him anywhere because he was usually in the kitchen making all the Freshies, because no one can make a Freshy like him. So I won't give you his exact secret recipe, but just know it's made with only four ingredients and usually always all organic, too.
I've tried it because some of it was dropped off the other day, and I'm not a seltzer drinker, and I don't drink tequila much. I think this is a really nice drink, and it's light, it's refreshing, it's very effervescent, it's relatively low ABV. I think it's like 4.9 or something like that.
Yeah, it's 4.7, and consumers these days, they want something very light and refreshing. They don't want that 7 or 8% ABV because that just kind of weighs you down and doesn't make you feel light on your feet, you know? So it's honestly the perfect combination, and all the ingredients together just make it so refreshing. And I'm glad that you were able to actually try one too prior to this interview. And I love that you loved it too.
Yeah, I did. And I must tell you, on a warm day, I think this would be perfect on the patio or perfect with the picnic or something like that, because it's got a lot of sparkle to it. The flavor isn't overwhelming. It's distinct and it's really nice. I think you've got a real good recipe here.
Well, thank you. That means a lot to us. And, you know, with our flavors, it's always so important for it to be very, very light. We never want our flavoring to come through as pungent. And also the fact that we are USDA organic, you could really taste how clean our ingredients do taste in our drink. I know when you try other heavier cocktails or other seltzers, you kind of have that chalkiness taste that happens, and that's just because they're not using all organic ingredients. And since we are, it really gives off that clean, crisp taste.
Got a can of it in front of me here. It's even got a QR code because nothing comes without a QR code these days. So you scan
for the
full experience. But it's one of those tall, thin, in this case, lightly colored cans with a light green and yellow and orange colored freshy letters up the side. And it's a very nice beverage. Congratulations and good luck to you this year, Paige.
Thank you so much, John. I really appreciate that.
That's Paige Eisminger, the co-founder of Freshy Organic Tequila. GetFreshy.com, i.e. at the end, GetFreshy.com is the website based in Chicago. 12:43 on the Wintrust Business Lunch. More business news. Here's Steve Grzanich.
Start your timer. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing Chicago's business news of the day. Charging stations for electric vehicles could be the new perk offered to bank customers in Chicago. JPMorgan Chase is installing charging stations at two Chicago area branches as part of a nationwide pilot program. Crane says the two participating branches are in Oak Brook at 2122 West 22nd and Norridge at 4223 North Harlem. Chase has plans to add charging stations at 50 branches this year across the country. Nearly half of them are in California. The stations will provide an 80% charge in 15 to 45 minutes while customers are inside the bank. A new high-rise apartment development is being planned in the West Loop. Cranes reports the 36-story, 362-unit development will be located at 301 South Green. The site currently houses low-rise buildings and a parking lot and is located a block northwest of the Jane Byrne Interchange. The building at 404 feet would be among the tallest buildings within several blocks and the sixth tallest among completed and proposed towers in the neighborhood. I'm Steve Grzanich, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
We got your business food with Steve Alexander.
Yeah, John, I've got a grandpa-to-grandpa tip for you. When Bernadette's a little older and you want to keep her entertained on a road trip, give her a sandwich bag with carrots and chips and celery, any noisy food, and then play a game with her. She takes a bite, and you, in the front seat, not peeking, try to guess what she's eating. It's fun. My kids love it. My grandkids love it. It makes the drive easier. And along those lines, food companies are paying a lot of attention to sound. So let's play a little game of Name That Food Sound. Ready? Oh, come on. That's easy. That's the sound of a chip. But which one? That's what the marketers of Tostitos were up against as they tried to find a unique sound for their products. And we know how important audio can be in identifying a brand. For example, we know this means someone's in trouble on a TV crime show. But for Tostitos, the challenge was to come up with something covering all of its products. So Tostitos marketing director Hannah Golden hired Made Music, which has created sounds for many big brands.
I really didn't know what we were in store for, and it was just overall really fun and pleasant project.
John Tate is with Made Music.
You know, they wanted something that sounded like togetherness, sounded like fun with your friends. And actually, you know, one of the initial thoughts we had was, what would it sound like if a group of friends actually got together and all they had were Tostitos products and maybe some drumsticks and, you know, an imagination, and they put this thing together.
And since the sound of a chip crunch Could be any chip.
We have so many chips in our, in our family of brands, but then just obviously other competitor brands that also could have a crunch.
Yeah, Made Music discovered two distinct sounds, the vacuum pop when a jar of Tostitos salsa is opened, and the unique sound made when drumsticks hit the jar lids.
Which magically we found were tuned to the key of C.
So the finished product... And you'll be hearing that or variations of the unique sounds of Tostitos products in advertising and promotions. Of course, we here at the radio station appreciate the use of audio to identify a product. WGN. From the farm to your belly on this Friday, well, here's something that would go well with Tostitos salsa. It is National Empanada Day. That's the business of food on 720 WGN.
Boy, here's something to do this weekend. Let's talk to Mike Armstrong, the vice president of Reed Pop. They're putting on the Star Trek Missions event at McCormick Place this weekend. Mike, you're on WGN Radio. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Tell us what's going on at McCormick Place.
We've got three fun days of Star Trek fandom. You know, we're happy to be back at McCormick Place in Chicago. We run C2E2, which is 12 years strong here, and we're excited to bring back something that's specifically for Star Trek fans from all across the world.
Yeah, is it all across the world? I was wondering. So how many folks do you expect to show up, and where do they come from?
We're going to have about 10,000 people this weekend, and I was working in the show store this morning and asking people where they were from and why they were here, and I had a couple from the UK, I had a couple from Australia, a lot of people from the Indianapolis area, and obviously a lot of folks who were born and bred in Chicago, so it's nice to see people from all walks of life celebrating one of their loves in Star Trek with each other.
How long has this been going on, and did you have to take a year or two off?
This is our first year. I guess if you think back, we had done a Star Trek Missions event in New York back in 2006 to celebrate the 50th anniversary of the franchise. But it's great to be back for kind of our first relaunch. There's so much exciting content that's coming from the Star Trek universe now with Discovery or Lower Decks or Strange New Worlds. And so it's nice to see fans who are here for nostalgia reasons and then see fans who are here because they've been hooked on one of these new shows that have been on.
So do people dress up in appropriate costumes of their favorite characters?
Oh, well, I guess appropriate is subjective, but yeah, I'd say about 50% of the people who are here in some sort of costume. Pretty much everybody is wearing a Star Trek shirt or they're buying a Star Trek shirt from the show store, but people are definitely not ashamed to show off their fandom here.
And then... I'm familiar with the franchise. It was not my go-to one, though. How many iterations or kind of Star Trek shows have there been?
There's got to be a dozen at this point, and that's not even counting the movies. So you'll see, if you look at our guest list, and one of the big features of a show like this is people coming and getting autographs from folks like William Shatner or George Takei or James Cromwell. But there are people who are representative of every... different iteration of Star Trek, whether it's the movies or the various TV shows. So there is you like hooked on to one specific property or show, then there's probably somebody here that you would recognize.
So Takei and Shatner are in town for this event then, huh?
Yeah, they're here. Shatner's here on Sunday. Takei is here as of this morning. You're signing autographs. There's a lot of cast from the new shows, specifically Lower Decks. You'll see Jack Quaid and Tawny Newsome. Noelle Wells, and then from Strange New Worlds, Anson Mount, Rebecca Romijn, who is big in the property but has not done a lot of shows to this point. So it's nice to be able to bring some of the folks who you see at events like this from time to time, but also to bring people who are brand new to the convention landscape.
I wonder how many shows could pull something like this off. You know what I mean?
Yeah, there's Star Wars. We run a Star Wars convention in Anaheim this year is coming up. And so that property obviously does well. Star Trek does just as well. You see niche events pop up all over the country and all over the world, frankly. Like, we've done things from UFC Fan Expo for people who are big fans of Ultimate Fighting. We've done things for anime specifically. So if there is what people think is a niche fandom, there are thousands of people out there who like the same thing that they do, and there's an event for them.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, I guess any really good show has its fans, but there has to be something else that sort of inspires people to participate at a level like this. Have you been able to put your finger on that?
I think for Star Trek specifically, it's like the tradition of it. And, you know, growing up, you know, I remember my dad and I had a period of a couple of years where we would go see every Star Trek convention on opening night Star Trek movie on opening night. And like people have these connections to these properties that, you know, might be hard to explain. It might have gotten them through a tough time in their life. It might be something that they picked up from a family member. So, you know, everybody's got a reason. And, you know, we're here to help them celebrate that. There's no judgment at any of our events, which is one of the things I love.
I think that's part of it, too. I mean, you can be a geek for anything, but there's a sense of community there. And if you are a little bit of a geek in the world, isn't it nice to know? And by the way, I don't know what the people are like at these events, but I do like the fact that there's no judgment. There doesn't seem to be at these sort of things.
Yeah, it's a safe space. And that's important for people who, you know, might not at their workplace reveal to people that they're a huge Star Trek fan or something like that, or like a huge Doctor Who nerd. But when they're in a place where they're with people who kind of share their same interests, they come out of their shell. And it's really inspiring to see. I've been doing this for almost 15 years and made a lot of great friends along the way. But to see people kind of feel a comfort that they don't feel in their day to day, it's nice and it's gratifying.
Mike Armstrong is the vice president of ReadPop. That's the company putting this on. Find out more at StarTrekMissions.com. StarTrekMissions.com. Have a great weekend at McCormick Place, Mike.
Thanks. Appreciate you. Be well.